Welcome to NPR's Story of the Day, the one thing NPR editors think you won't want to miss.
Hi, this is Michelle Martin. Here at NPR, we're working on a new daily interview and talk show. We want it to be different. We want it to serve your needs, and we'd like you to help us make it happen. Visit npr.org/roughcuts to find out how you can subscribe to the pilot podcast and help us make NPR's newest program the best that it can be.
Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the all-new MDX with super-handling all-wheel drive. More information is available at Acura.com.
A troubled part of Africa gets an unlikely advocate in this next item. It's the story of Eric Reeves. He's a Smith College professor of Renaissance literature, and he has become one of the world's authorities on the violent conflict in the Darfur region of Sudan. His command central is a cramped home office in a small New England town. For member station WFCR, Karen Brown reports.
Eric Reeves' upstairs den in Northampton, Massachusetts, is testament to the yin and yang of his professional life. Portraits of Charles Dickens share wall space with political maps of Africa. The poetry of W.H. Auden sits on a bookshelf next to Samantha Power's seminal book on genocide. Most of his novels are collecting dust.
I read very, very little that's not related to Darfur or the course I'm teaching, which at the moment is Shakespeare. And that's a strangely bifurcated life, I can assure you.
Reeves remembers the moment when his life split in two. It was 1998. The humanitarian organization Doctors Without Borders had just named the Sudan Civil War the most underreported crisis in the world. Reeves, a longtime donor to the group, was talking to the executive director.
And we were lamenting Sudan's invisibility, the intractability of the conflict, and I said something like, I'll see what I can do.
In the 8 years since, Reeves has published more than 100 articles and op-eds. He speaks at congressional hearings and writes a weekly 6,000-word analysis of Darfur, which is read online by key policymakers and activists. It goes beyond armchair blogging. He gets information from highly placed confidential sources in Sudan and pores over stacks of original documents.
These are various files, the International Criminal Court and the reports from Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, mortality reports.
At 56, Reeves is tall and fit, with a youthful face and gentle demeanor. But don't let it fool you. Reeves was among the first to label the killing of non-Arab civilians in Darfur genocide. And his meticulous death count, now close to 500,000 people, blew previous estimates out of the water. He's on the enemy list of the Sudanese government, which has spent thousands of dollars on mailings to discredit him.
Hello?
This could explain why journalists look to him even beyond his expertise.
How are you?
Here's Radio France calling him to comment on Ethiopia's former dictator.
Actually, I work only on Sudan, so I really wouldn't be able to comment on that trial.
Reeves makes no money from his political work. He donates all speaking fees to a Sudan charity he founded. There's something else that keeps him going.
I'm pretty much always angry, extremely angry at the international community for failing to respond to what we have known to be genocide. And I see part of my task as creating an historical record that is simply irrefutable, so that somebody going back and looking archivally at what I've written will see what we knew and when we knew it.
Reeves came of age in the Vietnam era. He still carries his conscientious objector card. Today, he rattles off details of UN resolutions and military budgets the way other people talk about batting averages. His friends say his encyclopedic knowledge is matched only by his passion for sharing it.
You can see it in his eye. You can see it in the words that he used.
Ted Danye is an African specialist with the Congressional Research Service. He says Reeves takes every individual tragedy in Sudan personally.
It's as if they're family. You know, a loss of life in a remote village in Darfur, when you call Eric, you know, he is really sad in a bad mood, and he writes about it the next day.
Reeves has enjoyed a few incremental victories, including a college divestment campaign. There have also been personal costs. His two daughters went through adolescence while Reeves was consumed by his cause. His wife Nancy says the family understands that Darfur needs him right now.
Eric's very persuasive. It's hard to deny that this is the important moment that it is.
Even a diagnosis of leukemia 2 years ago only focused his efforts.
It was always easy to get up, no matter how wretched I felt after chemotherapy. I always had something to do that meant a great deal, and I didn't have to go any further than my computer.
Eric Reeves' leukemia is in remission, and he's only working half-time for Smith, but he still hasn't gotten to the 3-foot stack of book reviews by his bed.
My dream is that peace will come to Sudan. I will return to being a professor of English, and I will teach a seminar in the short fiction of Alice Munro. At the moment, it seems like a very far-off dream, but that's the dream.
For NPR News, I'm Karen Brown.
Try an oral dose of NPR's Your Health, a podcast that's good for your body. Get a full prescription at npr.org/podcasts.